For Theater Talk on WBFO, I'm Anthony Chase.
And I'm Peter Hall.
And Peter, we've had the Tony Awards. Pretty exciting. I was out in Los Angeles, as I have done in recent years, gone out to the Tony Award party. The Actors Fund gives the Julie Harris Award. So just at dinner with Lily Tomlin and a bunch of her closest friends so she could win that award.
Thud. Did I just hear a name?
Let me pick that up for you.
You know, speaking of name dropping, though, Mr. Chase, I've got to tell you, over the past couple of months, you've gone down to New York and you came back with glowing reports of shows that won a lot of Tonys. You loved Tootsie, Best Book of a Musical. You loved The Cher Show, Stephanie Block, leading actress. And you loved Elaine May in the Waverly Gallery.
I did. But you'll note that I didn't rave about shows that won a lot of Tonys. I raved about shows that won few Tonys or almost no Tonys. And the reason for that is that I'm always mindful that something that gets shut out of the Tonys might close. So I got into Pretty Woman real quick because I thought that's going to come and it's going to go, and it did. And I knew that Hadestown, all the buzz was about Hadestown. Everyone was asking me, have you seen Hadestown? So I'm not seeing it until next month. No rush. So that's the logic behind the things that I saw. Once again, of course, a play from the UK, The Ferryman, which, okay, you know, totally unearned ending, wonderful actors and a meandering Chekhovian type play. It's the kind of thing they love to give the Tony Awards to.
You've complained about that a lot. If it's British, it gets a Tony.
It gets a Tony. Well, I could be complaining about that since before I was born. This is the way that it goes. And the best performance by a Brit, you know.
Speaking of British versus American, let's just translate that a little bit to Canadian versus American. I think both of us had the same reaction about Brigadoon at the Shaw Festival.
What a pleasant surprise.
Absolutely. Yes. Wow, this is great. We've been waiting years for a really beautifully done musical.
It is beautifully done. It has its Canadian moment. I thought that the staging of My Mother's Wedding Day, ick, as they're acting out children's theater style, and that's where we needed Susan Stroman to come in and fix that for them. And I think that, okay, Canada, we love you for the Stratford Festival, the Shaw Festival, Brad Fraser, French Playwrights of Montreal, so much that we just envy, but we do musicals better. Now the hate mail.
But you think it's in our American DNA.
Well, I think that it's part of our culture. And my college roommate who went on to be, he's actually Canadian. His father is Robert McNeil. Remember the McNeil-Lair report? Canadian. His mother, Australian. He's making his living. He designed Inspector Coles and Billy Elliot. And he said the frustration of doing musicals in the West End was that the British don't love them the way that Americans do. And I think that there is a bit of truth to that also in Canadian theater. It is not as embedded in the Canadian theater as it is in the American theater, and I think that they don't quite comprehend the degree to which we take these seriously. You know, look at the current revival of Oklahoma. Even something like How to Succeed in Business, a biting satire of American business. We laugh very hard about what's wrong with America. Hamilton, you know. But credit where it's due, I think the Shaw Festival got Brigadoon right. They just got it right. I even love the updating of the book.
Well, let's bring it back home for a couple of really edgy straight plays. One I've seen, you'd have two, Girls Who Walked on Glass, immersive, it's intense, and one I'm waiting to see, The Seat Next to the King. You like them both?
I did like them both. The Seat Next to the King, Canadian play. The playwright was present on the opening night, though it's a very American topic. It is about two gay men who were close advisors, assistants, one to Lyndon Baines Johnson and the other to Martin Luther King, actual historical figures whose names are familiar to people who study that era of history. And it fantasizes a meeting between the two in a public men's room and a subsequent meeting many, many years later. Their lives went in radically different directions. That's at the New Phoenix Theater. And the other is the very ambitious, immersive experience. You walk from room to room. You do, by the way, get to sit if you get into the room fast enough. And three plots unfolding simultaneously about women who experience life and things specific to being women. And we walk from room to room directed by the cast, and we can hear the other scene happening in the other room simultaneous to the one we're seeing. Very smartly done, nice cast, but they can only let a very small number of people in each night.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that. How would this go to Broadway? How would they transform a Broadway theater and have people wandering?
Do you think this is a Broadway play? This is an off-Broadway play.
Okay.
Isn't it? I suppose you could do anything. Divide the theater up, take Studio 54, haul out the seats. They'd really have to be pretty confident of a hit, but there might be someone crazy enough enough. But off-Broadway, Ivo van Hove's Scenes from a Marriage was very like this. Three plots, audience divided into three groups. I should mention opening this week, Entertaining Mr. Sloan, which we talked about last week, postponed its opening. It is opening this week. So Entertaining Mr. Sloan, up and running finally, and Nine with Ben Michael Moran as Guido Contini, second generation, and that's being performed at the Smith Theater. For Theater Talk on WBFO,
I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.